We did New Year's together that year.
And then the next year we did it again, and then we decided, well, we've done it twice.
Well, in the church, that's a tradition. We've always done it that way.
Now it's
got to
be tradition.
Welcome to Christ in All Things, a conversation about meaning and purpose.
It's based on a verse from the Bible, Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, which says, Christ is before all things, and in him all things hold together.
Christ in All Things is a listening ear into conversations about receiving and giving the love and hope of Christ. And
these conversations are an invitation, because as much as you'll hear, and as much as we enjoy having them, digital media operates from a distance, and that's not what's best for us, with God or with one another.
So, thanks for listening. And if you're in the neighborhood, we invite you to participate in person in the life that finds its epicenter at St. Paul's Lutheran Church, 210 East Pleasant Street in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin.
That's not it. So here's the thing, right? I said this before, I'll say it again. Really, it's only God in Christ. It's only his grace. It's only his forgiveness that makes this work, right? I am my brother's keeper, and I look out for Mark as much as I can. And Mark sees himself as my keeper, and he looks out for me as much as he can. And sometimes that means asking each other straight up, how's your marriage, right? Which we started doing after another friend of ours from undergrad suddenly and unexpectedly just publicly told everybody, oh, by the way, we're divorced now.
Yeah, it's just one of those weird things where all your friends, that you're all the same age, you go through that phase, those couple of years after college where everyone gets married, and then 10, 15 years down the road, one of you gets divorced, and like, wow, that was a...
gut check.
Yeah, I would have said something else, but well, gut check is better.
Yeah. So we started asking each other that question and still do, right? We're randomly, out of the blue, we'll just text each other, how's your marriage? And the expectation is you're going to answer that honestly. And then we can pray for each other.
And I don't know if that's the kind of conversation that you can have with the barista...
No.
That you are developing that relationship.
I can't have that conversation with Bill at the Quick Trip over on Brown Street, right? That's not going to happen. But with Mark, it happens seamlessly, right? It happens seamlessly. So you remember, you are your brother's keeper. So when you find that human and you say, hey, that human's kind of weird and I'm kind of weird, so I'm going to say, let's be friends. And I'm going to look out for that human like I want to be looked out for, because that's my friend.
So we started with proximity and commonality, and that built acquaintance. We took that acquaintance and, you know, through the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, friendship.
So uniquely
friendship
Christian
is kindled.
Friendship, right? There's how did we put this? It's on this thing. It's on this thing that we gave you, right? And this is the point. Acquaintance plus intentionality, right? We're in the moving into friendship box, right?
Yeah, so back to that general satisfaction survey and the fact that married people just tend to be happier. It's this weird paradox where because marriage is limiting, it's within these boundaries that we find freedom and fulfillment in the institution of marriage.
Right.
As much, you know, I think Pastor mentioned this, like as much as you might think, oh, just sleeping around with as many people as I want to and not getting married seems like a way better life to have. No, actually what we find is that people who are married in stable relationships are way more satisfied. And so the one of the ways that our friendship and our families bonded is that one New Year's Eve, we drove to Janesville, Wisconsin, where they were on Vicarage, and we celebrated New Year's Eve because I was taking my family down to Christmas with my with my parents. And it just, you know, Janesville is on the way from Minneapolis to Chicago, so we stopped and we celebrated New Year's Eve. Or maybe we stopped on the way back, whatever it was.
Yeah, you had been in Chicago, had celebrated Christmas with your family, and on the way home, you stopped in Janesville. I was on Vicarage. We did New Year's together that year.
And then the next year we did it again, and then we decided, well, we've done it twice.
Well, in the church, that's a tradition. We've
now
always
it's
gotta
be
it
tradition.
Way.
And so it was weird how that really did become tradition. And so putting that structure on it developed this again, this reason for getting together. Like, that's all we needed. Because before that, again, there hadn't been much more than acquaintanceship.
And if this gives you any indication of how much that New Year's tradition has become a meaningful thing for us in COVID, during the lockdown, the thing that we missed the most because of COVID was the year that I got COVID, the year that we moved here, and I got COVID that Christmas, and I was in a bed, isolated from my family. Like, I mean, I was bad, right? That year, we both said the thing that we miss the most, of all the things that COVID took from us, of all the things that we missed.
My daughter's eighth grade graduation and confirmation and a spring musical and...
I mean, there's a lot of big moments in our family's lives together that happened that year. But of all the things that we've missed because of the lockdown, because of COVID, the thing that affected us the most was we didn't get to spend New Year's together.
And there were plenty of years, I think, that our families only, that was the only time we saw each other, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, gradually we built in some summer trips.
Well, and then it helped when we moved lived in West Salem and we were 3 hours away.
It did.
Right? That made it a lot easier because, yeah, we had to drive, or they had to drive across state lines, or we had to drive across state lines. But effectively, if we left at 6 a.m, we could get there by 10. Spend a good chunk of the day together and then come home, right?
Right, day trips made sense, yeah.
They don't now. And yet, right, here's a hat tip he's probably not going to tell you. His high school's robotics team is in the Minnesota State competition this weekend.
Yay!
Where's Mark?
We made the quarters.
Where's Mark?
He's here.
It's fine.
Because we committed to do this long before we knew that the team was going to end up at the state level. And doing this kind of stuff together, being together as friends, is something that we put on the calendar above most everything else. Because there's acquaintance and intentionality. But that intentionality is backed up when Jesus is in the midst of it. And I see in Mark a guy who holds me accountable, a guy who loves me because Jesus loves me, a guy that I love because Jesus loves him, right? Our families have developed this connection over the years. And I'll tell you, I am humbled that Mark and his family pack it into their vehicle and drive however far it is to come and, thanks, Becca. However far it is to come and see us, right? Now, again, when we lived in West Salem, it was 4 or 5 times a year. Now it's more like twice, this year 3. Maybe we get 4 because we're coming up in June. For you. For you, Becca.
For somebody's graduation open house, Rebecca Faith Tredray, class of 2024, Mayor Lutheran High School.
She didn't know that. She didn't know that until just
apparently
now.
Apparently not. Didn't think it through. Didn't put 2 and 2 together. She's very smart, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, right.
She's very smart.
I just forgot that I was going to college next year. Sure. Right? And that, for, I am humbled by that. I think that. Yeah, they are. They're making memories. I think that The grace that Mark and Chrissy and Rebecca and Gabe show our family in being willing to travel means a lot. It means more than I can probably say in making friendship work.
But here's the maybe the best news about all of that, because I don't want to build it up and make it more than it is, right? Is that you were created for this.
Yes. Okay?
When you were created in the image of our God, that is a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When he says, let us create man in our image, that's not the royal we, that's not anything like that, right? God is never alone. God the Father is always there with God the Spirit and God the Son. When you read through that creation account in the book of Genesis over and over again, God says that his creation is good. It is tov. And when it gets to the end, and everything is created, it's tov mahov. Everything is very good. And then there's this record scratch at the beginning of...
Boker tov.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah. Thank you. He teaches English, not Hebrew.
Thank you for that.
I know. Yeah.
So there's this record scratch at the beginning of Genesis chapter 2 when God says it is not good for the man to be alone.
That is the one moment where God says, this is not good. It is not good. Everything that I have made is very good. And then in Genesis 2, he goes, oh, this is not good. The man is alone.
So that community, again, is something God created you for. And he's going to help you and work through with you to place you in that community. And your life only is harder and more difficult when you extricate yourself, when you move yourself, when you try to isolate yourself outside of community. So again, where we kind of started by saying, hey, look around, there's an entire room full or an entire world full of people out there for you to be friends with. Like, there's also an entire world full of people who are there to be friends with you.
Right.
And to take care of you and to watch out for you.
I wanna pull this all as we're talking about being created for this and being that this is what you're made for, right? This is not just what you're created for and not just what you're made for. This is what you're redeemed for, right? This is what Christ in his grace, by his cross, in his empty tomb, has done, is he has said to you, everything the Father's told me, I've told you. I don't call you servants anymore. I call you friends. And that's all it takes. The thing, Christ has called us friends, right? So when you're...
It's not what a work buddy I have in Jesus.
It's not a buddy I have in Jesus, right? It's not what a board game buddy I have in Jesus. Quick story about we're playing a board game called Azul. It's a tile laying game. It's easy.
This
was
like last month.
It's creative, right? So this is current in our friendship, right? But I wanted it to be current in our friendship, not historical, because...
Oh, so you were a jerk on purpose for the purposes of this story? Oh, I'm sorry. I haven't even let him tell the story. Let me finish. Sorry, I stepped on your moment.
Never happens. So we were done with the game. We were trying to clear the table and get ready for dinner. We were scoring the game as we were going through. Mark was the last one to score his tiles. And as our sons were playing with us, and as they finished scoring their tiles, I was sweeping their tile boards and putting it away as they're scoring it. And it came time for Mark's turn to score his board. And as he began to score his board, without thinking, I picked up the scoring tile from his board and put it in the bag. You didn't quite flip the table.
Well, it wouldn't matter because he'd already put all the tiles away, so it wasn't like a big dramatic show. It wasn't like the time in Ticket to Ride where I literally flipped the board because I was so mad at you.
Right.
By the way, never play Monopoly with Pastor Jason. Like, you'll meet some people who are just insane about certain things. Pastor Jason is a Monopoly nutcase. Like,
no,
Monopoly isn't even that great a game.
We play Monopoly by the rules.
See, one of those. Einigkeit und Recht und Freiheit.
The printed rules.
Monopoly Nazi.
We play Monopoly
oh,
by
now
the
you're
printed
a rule follower.
Rules. Which means when you land on free parking, you get
free parking.
That's it. But I tell you the story. But I tell you. Yeah, thank you. Love you too. But I tell you this. I tell you the story about the scoring tile in Azul, and we tell you the story about flipping the Ticket to Ride board over because I took another one of his route possibilities. We tell you that so we can tell you this. What makes friendship work is when it's rooted, when it's grounded, when at its foundation is the forgiveness and grace that we have in Christ. There's all kinds of reasons you can find to be upset with somebody. There's all kinds of reasons you can find to say, that person who's weird, this little weird thing about them is so weird, I can't be around that.
And there's all kinds of excuses you can have to not spend time together and to not get together and not to pick up the phone after 20 years or however long it's been and just catch up and say hi. You can still do that, Pastor Lance.
Right. And you can do so with an apology that asks for forgiveness, knowing that you have already been forgiven in Christ, knowing that you've already received that gift, and then ask your friend to give it to you, right? We do that, forgive each other, fairly regularly. Sometimes we actually ask for it. Forgiveness, that is, right? Sometimes. More often than not, it's just a matter of, I'm not going to hold against my friend something that they said or did that I disagreed with, or that I struggled with, or that I could have easily chosen to be offended about. Instead, I'm going to operate toward my friend in grace and love, in the grace and love that Christ gives us to share with one another, because that's what we're called to. Gravity's stronger over there, be careful. Right? And it's, honestly, it's that friendship that includes Christ's forgiveness is beyond anything you could try to manufacture on your own. It just is. That's what makes this work.
And it's hard enough that I certainly don't think any of us are suggesting that you're going to have dozens and dozens of super close friends any more than you'd have multiple spouses in your life, right?
How many really close friends do I have? One. I am the extrovert of extroverts. How many people know me as well as he does? One. My wife. Two.
I watched you spend 10 minutes tucking your shirt in one time. I might have something to... It must be autistic or something. Like, he had these jeans, right? And like the
Stop.
Tucking in. Sorry, okay. But the tucking into the shirt.
Remember, you said you weren't going to tell embarrassing stories.
That was not that embarrassing.
Thank you. Questions, comments, concerns, rebuttals. We want to hear from you as well. We said this wasn't going to be a TED talk, and then we just stood here and talked. What do you want to know?
Tell us more about tucking in your shirt.
Stop.
We were like trying to go out somewhere. I'm like, dude, we gotta go.
Watch pot never boils.
Gotta hand
it. Yep.
So,
hang on.
And like,
you do because we're recording it.
So you've talked about how like Mark, you're more of an introvert, and Pastor Shockman, you're more of an extrovert. Mm-hmm. How do you feel that factors into your friendship? And do you sometimes just feel like he adopted you and won't let you go?
Do I feel like he adopted me and won't let me? Like, am I? I don't like if I'm not like sending out secret blink messages. Like, please save me. It's nothing like that. I like. Well, okay, so introversion, extroversion is really weird. Like, you probably wouldn't guess that I'm super introverted just by watching me stand up here, right? So I'm like this extremely rare breed of introvert where I love being on stage. And I love, absolutely love having every eye in the room on me. I love performing. I hate small talk. I assume that I have no idea if I have no idea if this ends with like some kind of like mingling thing, but I will probably try to duck out and run away because I have no desire
to make small talk. We have two vehicles here.
Right. On the other hand, like hanging out one-on-one, small group, you know, a small over the dinner table conversation, those are the things I love. So it's fun hanging out with extroverts because you just get to watch them like do their extrovert thing, and it looks like magic to me. Like, wow, how do you do that? And you can kind of like, you can kind of like throw little grenades into their little impromptu conversations, and it's just hilarious. I don't know.
I'm really glad I'm amusing for you. I mean that.
I don't know that it, I don't know how that plays into our friendship dynamic at all, except that I just am endlessly entertained by it. Yes, Pastor O'Donnell.
Wait, yep.
Nice skipping. So what if I am mild extroverts, but what if you're you? What if you're quite an introvert, and so, you know, you've come and you've heard this and you're realizing, wow, where I really kind of live my life alone and I don't have any friends and I don't have an extrovert who's adopted me. What do I do?
You're gonna die alone. I'm really sad. I'm sorry.
There's
no.
Wow.
What? You can't say that.
You can't say that.
Don't say that. No. Seriously. The truth. No, it's not. And here's how I know it's not true.
You
because
are killing me,
because
Smalls.
My they're not my people.
I know.
I'm going back
That's
to
why
Minnesota.
You're killing me.
My wife is an introvert, right? And so I do have several other friends who are introverts. And so we introverts build relationships differently. Introverts and extroverts are actually not that different different people. The big difference between introversion and extroversion is what gives you energy. As an introvert, what gives me energy is being alone, being by myself, being on my own.
Preferably with a book.
Giving myself time to think and reflect on all the things that I've seen and heard. What gives an extrovert energy is being around people. So I also get energy from being around, you know, just one or two people. I would love to chat and visit with you each one-on-one. It would take me 100 years, right, to get to build a deep, lasting relationship with either one, all of you over a beer. But I would enjoy that way more than just standing at the door and shaking all of your hands and
I mean, it really only took us like 10 years to figure it out, and the rest has been gravy.
So I feel like female introverts are at a higher disadvantage as far as friendship goes because than men introverts are, simply because females look at other females differently in that way. And sometimes men do, I feel like, too. They have this label then put on them as an introvert that she's a...
Female extroverts, find an introvert and adopt them as your friend.
Well, and so, right, I think we said that it's on our original podcast from a year ago, is that the people that you should have doing your friendship podcast are really our wives.
Amen.
Because they've developed an incredible, you know, Christ-centered relationship that's not just built on the fact that they have kids the same age. That's not just built on the fact that their husbands are friends. You know, they have a real... enduring, lasting friendship of their own. It probably helps that I like Colette, I think, out of all my friends' wives the most.
I think you like her more than you like me. In case you didn't hear that, he said, we all do. Leah?
So first of all, I'm also a teacher at middle school, and I appreciate the comment on the introverted extrovert. That's what I am. I can talk to groups like this, blah, blah, blah. But if you tell me to sit down and, hi, how are you today? Let's shake hands and hug. Nope. So that's a great comment on that. But I have a friend of mine. So I've known her for 35 years, and I remember the first evening we met. We bonded over the fact that her mother made beef rouladen, her mother's from Germany, and we both hated the onions and picked them out for half an hour and got kicked off the dinner table. Do you two remember the first encounter the two of you had?
The first one I remember... So, like, it's been 40 years, guys. I'm really old.
That story, by the way, does not start. It was a dark and lonely night.
So the first encounters I remember, one was doing laundry in the dorm, and here's Jason, who just as an extrovert clearly needed someone to talk to, bless his heart. And so I'm down here folding my laundry, and here's this guy talking to me, and I kind of remembered his name, but not really. He obviously knew who I was, which is great, super good for you. And he was really, really worried about this girl he had met because she wore fancy, like, designer clothes. Only come to find out that it was because she worked at a Marshalls. And was getting all her clothes, like, not only at the Marshalls discount, but then, like, at a employee discount on top of that. But he was very stressed out that he was not in her league financially or whatever, I guess. And so that night, there was just a lot of, like, smiling and nodding. Uh-huh, okay, all right, yeah.
Three years later, I married her.
So it worked out.
Yeah.
She's a very sharp dresser. Very stylish, Mrs. Shockman. Thank you. Other things I do remember, like working security shifts with you. I do remember as Jason is a diabetic, like back in the day when diabetics actually had to like puncture themselves with needles. This is my first experience with that. So watching him give himself a shot in the middle of a shift or break into a faculty member's office because he had this stash of pop in his office. Borrowing
emergency
borrowing Dr. Pepper because he needed 12 ounces of sugar.
Yep.
So that we could keep working this shift together. And at that time, like, I had no idea how serious diabetes was and the effects it has on the body. You know what's serious, though, because if it wasn't, they'd call it livabetes. They call it diabetes. So
and
it's kind
of a
big deal.
Now you know why this works.
Thank you. Like, I'm here all night.
Dead on dunce. All right. So we are well out of time. We thank you for coming tonight and for giving us your ear. What? Oh yeah, we gotta sing. For lending us your ear and for dreaming for some impossible reason that we actually have wisdom about this. Again, we only have wisdom to talk about friendship because we have a friendship that we've made work, right? And by God's grace, it has worked. And that's, I think, the biggest selling point for why we can stand up in front of you guys is God's grace has carried us along. And through different states and different locations and different circumstances and different employments, God has provided along the way that somehow we can still be friends. So thanks. Thank you for being a friend.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Travel up and down the road and back again. Thanks, Dave. We don't need to sing more of that song.
May the road rise up to meet you.
Okay. So what we're handing out here is our parting glass song. This is Till We Drink It Anew. We are working on getting the lyrics to this song printed around the border of the room. So it'll be really easy to sing along when we're here at Brewfinity. What? It's a lot of spinning after drinking, Mikey says. Yeah. Well, Chad and I'll work it out. We'll figure it out. Maybe we'll just do it in lines above the.
We should just do it on the ceiling
everywhere. Everywhere? I don't think it works that way. Over there. We'll see. Okay. Oye with relative pitch.
I got a pitch bike. What are you talking about?
He cheats.
Pitch you right in the face. Let's see. Clear pitch. Do you want to start on a C, really?
That's about where I was. Take up your
glasses, society friends, till we drink it on you. May God's law be stiff and Christ's gospel be true. Drink the pardoned glass and peace be with you.
We can go a little faster. Let's do that again.
Take up your cups, tap society, friends, till we drink it anew. May God's law be stiff and Christ's gospel be true. Drink the pardoned glass and peace be with you.
Thank you all for coming out.
For show notes and other information about Christ in All Things, visit ChristInAllThings.org. Comments may be emailed to comments@ChristInAllThings.org.
We're thankful to provide Christ in All Things to you as a gift.
But it's not free to produce and distribute.
So if you'd like to help us make Christ in All Things a self-supporting show and have a little fun in the process, please click the support page at ChristInAllThings.org.
A donation of any kind gets you a dozen environmentally friendly Christ in All Things straws to share with your friends. Pastor Shockman loves these.
That is so not true. You love those way too much, and I still can't believe you bought them. A donation of $200 or more gets you some cheerful on-air clapping. And a pair of Wisconsin-made wigwam hiking socks.
A donation of $1,000 or more gets you thunderous on-air clapping. And a handmade Christ in All Things leather folio by the Murdy Creative Company.
If you want to donate more than that, well, fly us wherever you want, and we will record Christ in All Things at your chosen location. Within reason, of course.
All post-production surplus supports youth ministry at St. Paul's. Thank you for your support.
Christ in All Things is a production of St. Paul's Lutheran Church, 210 East Pleasant Street in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. For more information about St. Paul's, visit splco.org, email us at info@splco.org, or the old-fashioned way, give us a call, 262-567-5001. Intro and outro music, setting by Joseph Hurl. Copyright 1998, Concordia Publishing House, used with permission.